The following podcast is a production of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
We're going to go ahead and get started, and because there are so many of you, we intend to do this in a very informal setting, and Blake has come with lots of questions. And your name, I'm sorry. Okay, this is Esther, John Haywood, and Bill Ryan. And they're going to share all they know, and they know a lot about foreign and international legal research websites, databases, and the topic itself. And they have a handout.
Indeed.
And so ask all the questions that you can. If others come, they can join you. And thanks very much for coming. Have you had two really big days?
Lots of panels.
And so tonight is the gala?
Dinner.
Tonight. Okay. And how did you go to the reception last night?
Yeah.
No.
Because there's a downtown. Around the
open. Bill Ryan is our international and foreign law librarian, and John is our digital media architect and reference librarian, as well as does amazing adjunct faculty work in the World Court class, is that correct? So, have a lot of background in international databases. And so, take it away. Thank you.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to talk a little bit about some of our favorite sites in some general areas. And feel free, if you've got questions, to ask them at any time. Show you both free internet sites and library subscription websites. Hopefully at some point you might have people who have access to those, or maybe where you are, you have access to them. I'd like to start with basically saying that international legal research, especially online international research, has really come a long way. Really so much so, more so in the last 10 years or so. It's been the evolution of the web, and the growth of material on it has just been astronomical. When back in the Stone Age, when I started researching international law, the internet didn't exist, which really gave me. But finding the material was very difficult, and now it's a lot easier. Having said that, I will issue one of the warnings that I always issue when I give this little talk, and that is, if you attempt to do international legal research on the web solely, using only the web, you will be not doing yourself any favors, because you cannot. Not everything that you need to look at in most cases for international law exists on the internet yet. If Google succeeds digitizing every book ever written, compilation of information ever produced, then you can talk about doing it. At this point, it's just not possible. So you will be, I tell RJD students that if they do that, they're committing malpractice. If they're students in preparing papers or briefs for court competitions, they're going to be in a lot of trouble if they don't use the books. Having said that, though, we're going to really talk about what's available electronically. The other thing is where I also tell students, and this applies to you guys as well as alumni, is what I call the 5 or 10 minute rule. And that's look for something for 5 or 10 minutes, either online or in print. And if you don't find it, don't waste any more time. Send us an email. Okay, we exist to serve you guys as well as current students. Our emails are available on the website.
And on the back of the little sheet.
Right. They're there. Send us an email. And I can usually tell you fairly quickly. It won't be as quick because of the time zone difference changes. Where you might be able to find the information you're looking for. If it exists online, or if it exists in a book. Where you might be able to locate it, and where it might be located in your part of the world. So those are the two things to take that I want you to take away. You can't do it all on the internet. You should always never be out and never be afraid to ask. Always just send us an email. We'll be glad to answer it. Okay. I'm going to talk first about general research guides, and John then is going to talk about treaty research on the web. There's a few good research guides available to you electronically. The caveat with many of them is they exist to provide access to only electronic sources. So the ASL guides here, the ASL guides to Electronic Resources International, look at the title, it's electronic resources. So it doesn't cover everything. So it's going to neglect the print sources, and again, we need to use the print sources. However, this is the first place I go when I'm looking for a research guide. These guides are written by colleagues of ours in the library field. They're updated at least twice a year, sometimes more than that. They cover a lot of topics in both public and private international law. They're not extensive. I mean, they don't cover everything, all topics, but they cover a lot. And they're very good. They cite to sites that are verifiable, that have good information on them. If you're looking for something, this is a good place to start. This is one of the guides. You want to take us to LLRX?
Yeah, LLRX. Yes.
LLRX is the Law Library Resource Exchange. It's a private site, but it also has a lot of good guides on it. The nice thing is they tell you when they were published and when they were updated. There's foreign guides. I'll talk about those at the end of the talk. We're talking about foreign law research. The international guides, some of which are repetitive to what you find on the ASIO website, a lot of which are not. And there's some that cover topics that are not covered there. These are also very good ones to look at. The authors are friends of ours, international law librarians. A lot of them are updated, not maybe not as frequently as the ASIO sites, but still fairly frequently. It's a very good site to look.
Is this all the articles? Or?
It's articles with links. And now some of these guys include sites to both print and electronic sources. So it's not just electronic things. And they do have, active links or active at the time that they were last updated. This is some very good stuff. I mean, they've got a great guide for researching treaties where the United States isn't a party, looking for foreign treaties. It's a very good guide to use. And this, and most of, again, these do both electronic sites and print sources, so it helps you cover your bases. In one of the handouts, in the CLE materials for this, there's a bibliography that I usually give to students. It has some printed sites, printed research guides as well. They're also very useful to use. Most of them do refer to online sources, but they're not updated as frequently as these, so they might be a little out of date. But then they cover more in depth the print sources available as well.
Let's go to the third one. A third one is on the UN site, the United Nations Documentation Research Guide. You guys are probably familiar with it, but a lot of times people are not. UN document symbols, what they mean, how they work, how to do research, how to look for things, how to figure out what exactly is going on. This is a very good site for that. It's one of the really nice little hidden gems on the UN website. Tells you about how the organization works, how the document system works, how you formulate a search and do those kinds of things. When you go into it, we'll look at the online document service in a few minutes. It'll help you figure out how to do a query on that as well. So those are three good research guides to take a look at. Oh, is there a fourth one? The NYU Global Law Links. This is a new set of guides, and this is a guide to foreign international law databases. Some of which are free databases, some of which are not. But it's updated fairly frequently. It's also well worth looking at. Okay, especially if you're looking for, if you're thinking whether a database exists covering a certain topic or not. And I'll guarantee you, I don't know every database that exists on all of these things. So this is a good place to look at that, and it could give you an idea of where to go to do further research that might not be covered in some of the other online ones. So that's in the Global X database at NYU. We'll talk more about there later. John, just talk a little bit about treaties.
We split things generally around here, the treaties, into U.S. and, this is going to be really hard to use, U.S. treaties and non-U.S. treaties, just because we're a U.S. law librarian, that's the way our sources break down. First one, do you guys have access to Westlaw Noxus?
No, I can access to folks.
Well, okay. Westfall has, okay, I'm just going to sign on again. Let's see, this is Westfall. International law. And all kinds of stuff. There are, as you can see, a variety of materials. EU, stuff from Hong Kong, stuff from Australia, the UK.
Kind of a bizarre mix.
It is a bizarre mix. It's whatever they happen to have agreements with. It would take too long at this point to actually go through and show you the individual. They have all U.S. treaties, and U.S. treaties in force is available on here. There are other places that are easier, and I think perhaps better to get those at, but if you're already on Westlaw, you can get them from here, so.
Is that U.S. international materials like ILM?
Yeah, ILM. ILM on Westlaw goes from 1980 to the present. Lexis goes from 1975. It's the other way around. Lexis goes from 1980. Westlaw goes from 1975. I don't know why they look a different set, because I assume they got them from the same place, but you never know. Lexis does pretty much the same thing, the same basic things that are in Westlaw are in Lexis for U.S. It's primarily U.S. treaties, tax treaties. If you're doing anything with tax-related research, you can link through either of these portals to a wide variety of tax treaty, both the text and interpretations of the text.
Keep in mind, though, when you're researching these things, the databases are just treaty dumps. It's a big dump of treaties. Yeah. It doesn't tell you whether the treaties in force are current or not. So you've got to always reference, especially with the U.S. treaty reference back, to treaties in force, because you don't want to cite to treaties that are no longer effective or been replaced. That would be bad. Very bad.
Other things with treaties here, let's see, Mine Online, which is again a pay database that we have access to through the walls, the library pays for it. Most libraries in the US subscribe to it. It has a treaty and agreements library that has, for US treaties, I mean everything you need. Treaties in the statutes at large, all the right here, the CAB agreements, which are Igor Kovas and Vanderbilt has made quite the industry of getting unpublished treaties and agreements and getting them out for people to use. He puts KAV numbers on them. This has, you have access to all of them through this. Let's see. Treaties and the other agreements, and if you've got a site to Bevins or Miller or Malloy or ILM, you can get them through here. And their ILM goes all the way back.
That's good.
And it's all PDF.
That's the best part.
So it's really treaty guides and indices, they have anything published by the federal government, obviously the catalog of treaties, different. And the treaties in force, which goes all the way back to 1929. So if you need to know if a particular treaty was in force in 1934, you can go pull the 1934 treaties in force and see if it was in force for the United States. Again, this is only if it's in force for the United States. Also, they also have some odd treaty stuff that's actually that's fairly useful. That's kind of esoteric. They have all the Indian treaties. Treaties with U.S. Indian tribes. They have nationality laws. And there's just a wide variety. There's probably too much to go through here. And so stay somewhat on time. But it's a tremendous resource. And also a whole slew of guides to treaties and agreements. Very, very useful. And again, actually, let's treaties. Show you what an example of what kind does. Mm-hmm.
one judge is searching.
Nine judges below the page. Page. There is a PDF.
And it's also fully searchable. So.
And you can search it. Keyword.
Yeah. For the trees between the U.S. and Mexico. From Mexico, you get to the page where eventually the U.S. Mexico trade.
It's not having people.
That's a boiling problem with that.
Now, continue going on here. Other places you should know about for U.S. treaties. The United States Department of State. It's the official treaty affairs, which they also have treaties in force available, current treaties in force is available for them directly. They have treaties, the TIS number of treaties, all the listed treaties are there.
And the State Department's about 13 years behind in issuing the absolute treaties. The last time I looked, the last one I saw, maybe it was like 94 or something like that.
I think there might be about 96, 97.
We're down to 10 years. So a lot of those treaties now have been, they're registered by the, not registered yet, but you used to have to, back in the Stone Age, you had to call the Office of Treaty Affairs at state and request a copy of something like that. Now state
has. For example, if you're in court and you need to use best evidence, and the best evidence rule, you need to use a treaty that's in force in the United States, but it's not yet published. You have to get a bound from that.
Like the bound treaties, the last volume of U.S. treaties is 1982.
So there are treaties that are not U.S. treaties that are not in there yet, or other agreements that are not in there yet. There is also the FOIA site, which stands for the Freedom of Information Act, for the State Department. This site is not the most well-designed or easiest to use. It's not the worst you'll see tonight, where it is ever, but it's not one of the best. And I think it's, in part, I think they're trying to hide what they have. To get here from the FOIA site, you get to, you know, where it says search document functions, you get to by clicking on it right there. That takes you to this page. To find international treaties, you have to come over here, the international agreements, click button. Then, go down to ebook. This is a bit of a challenge. There, and you enter, right here, you enter your search term. There's no way to browse. We discovered that there is a backdoor way to browse within the word document. It searches the word document, it pulls up everything but one. I'm not sure which one it doesn't pull up, but it pulls up everything. But if you have a specific treaty or a specific agreement, you're looking for a specific country, put the country's name in, see what pops up.
There's like 1,800 treaties in there that have yet to be fully registered.
U.S. Trade Rule. Sure. Where was that? Go back to school. Where is this
page? Right here?
Yeah.
It's actually on my way. It's this page right here, and it's on the we'll post on the E Library's web page when we're done here. We just finished this. It's not official yet. For trade agreements, the best place to go is the USTR trade rep. If you're looking for NAFTA stuff, if you're looking for free trade agreement, let's say, I don't know, Morocco. Everything you need to know about trade website. It's actually a very good site.
Trade website's a
very good site. And it's very well designed. It's easy to find things. It's very bleak.
They provide full text.
Yeah. In some cases, they're the only place you can buy.
It doesn't use PDF, though.
No, it's not. It's in HTML. Well, some of it's PDF. I pulled one thing on it. I think it varies. For treaties that have been signed and sent to the Senate for ratification, they become treaty documents. This is the site on Library of Congress's Thomas site where you can look up and find a treaty. And this is an official copy, so it can be used in court if we haven't actually published it. Now, non-U.S. treaties. Start off with EISL, which is the American Society of International Laws electronic research page. From here,
What ESIL is not necessarily a database.
It's a collection of links.
A database of links.
Again, put together by law librarians using sites that we feel are going to be there. There's stable sites, authoritative sites.
What Bill and I were talking about earlier, okay, the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties is very important to read. It is next to impossible to find on the U.S. Treaty 7. I come here. Because it takes you to the U.N. Treaty 7.
Well, doesn't that take
you to one of them?
No, it's going to take you to someplace on the U.N. side.
The U.N. Treaty?
Okay. That's the eventual.
I don't know, but they managed it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Click on the
more information. What I find fascinating about this is that the added part, the more information section here. A lot of times what you're looking for is just a citation.
Yes.
And what the librarians have decided to do is provide you with a blue book citation. Very trustworthy citation. Those of us who took international law in the Stone Age always kept our document supplements with us, because a good document supplement would have given you a nice blue book citation.
Weston, Falk, and D'Amato.
Yeah. Lovely blue book citation that you could always end if you were looking for a common treaty. But ESIL for everything is going to provide you that. It's also going to give you information as to where they pulled the treaty from, whether the treaty's been amended, if there's extra history to it, anything else, you know, all of that extra value-added information.
The ILC put it up.
It's from the International Law Commission.
Well, it's from UN Treaty. It's on the UN Treaty site, but the ILC has a, International Law Commission has a subsection on it.
Okay.
Which was nice of them to do. They probably got just as frustrated
trying to find it. So yeah, always, I mean, that more information thing is fabulous.
Okay, now let's go to the Belly of the Beast itself, the UN Treaty Organization. This is the worst designed website I have ever seen.
That's right, what?
Now, I think this is worse than we should show you, most of these international collections do have multiple languages, so you almost always come to a screen that gives you language choice. Now, you would think you're here for the treaty collection. You think you'd be able to get to the treaty collection. You have to go all the way down, to access the database.
Now, this isn't.
This is not.
The nice thing is that they make it hard to use because it's not a free database.
Right.
It is a paid database. So
although
only those of us who pay for it
can
get frustrated with it.
Last night when I was putting this together, I didn't go through our proxy server. I just went directly from home. And I got in. So
I've never figured out why they give free access. Now they give free access to documents. But not to the treaty.
Now there's some databases on here that are really useful. One of them is right there, the status of multilateral treaties deposited with the United Nations, the Secretary General. That is probably the most important thing on this database. Mm-hmm. It sets apart all the 500 and last time I checked 18 treaties that are deposited. And this only applies to the 500 and some odd 18 treaties that do apply, but that were deposited with them, but it does work. You gotta go past the next video. If you're looking for a particular treaty, human rights, let's use International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which is obviously deposited with them.
Is that the enforcement date?
That's a data signature. Here they give you information, including a site into their system. So if you need to find the text of the treaty, this right here will get you into the treaty, these two right here. Now, what makes the status very, very important, the status page is important other than just getting able to get in quickly, it lists every participant, the date they signed, the date they ratified, assessed,
or
yearly. It's dated year. They publish it in paper yearly. I have not seen it updated on here faster than that, but then again, I haven't. One of the things that's really quite nice, let's go to see these little footnote numbers here. Say you wanted to see what China said when they ratified it. There it is. On their notification, on their ratification, they attach a declaration. This is the source for any of those 519 treaties, any declarations, or addendum of any kind, and it's translated into every language that this is published into, which is all the official UN treaties. So it's incredibly useful if you're looking for reservations and exceptions and declarations and such. I use it quite a bit. Let's get back down. The other thing you can get to from here, of course, is the actual databases themselves, which are the ones that are important, are the UN Treaty Series and the Legal Commission Treaty Series.
Since we're here, how do we find the US UN resolutions?
It wouldn't be on this site. One thing, if you are using the UN site, make sure you turn off pop-up blockers on your browser or your phone network. You might be here. Say you were going to look up the Antarctic Treaty. You want to get a copy of that. Search.
There's a bunch of ways you can search it. If you're doing bilateral treaties, you can put in both states' names and search it that way. Now, keep in mind that it's not going to limit it to those. Well, should limit it to those, but sometimes it doesn't.
Gives you information, again, if you ratified it. And it also gives you a citation. It's kind of hard to do. The text in the major languages are up here. You click there. There it is. It's not in PDF, it's in TIFF, but they have a way of printing it. Because doing it in PDF is this is like fairly crazy on different devices.
It's very hard to use.
Okay. Now, other ones, the OAS. They have a treaty site. Treaties and agreements with listings, multilateral treaties, bilateral treaties, all in. It's not PDF, it's HTML text, but it is the official text so to be used and relied on. The same with Europa, which is for the EU. You can browse by classification of your subject matter. Same thing for the Council of Europe. The African Union, which has just started to really put stuff up on the web in the last year. This is the only place you're going to find it. Until last year, you couldn't find all of this stuff without going to the embassy. But it's up. They are starting to put a lot more up. It's actually fairly useful. I teach a class on international courts, and they're putting together a court system. And it's enabled me to keep up with what they're doing on a fairly much day-to-day basis. But they keep their site fairly well. The ICRC, National Committee of the Red Cross, all of their documents are on. All of the treaties, all of the final records, everything they publish. They have put out.
Are the triples on?
No, not yet. I haven't seen them. I shouldn't say it. The tribal purpose one. I have not seen them here, but I have seen like the commentaries and all of that. It's actually pretty useful. The things that don't fall into either of those categories, there's OWL. The folks at Yale, the law school, have done a wonderful job. It just takes a while to load. On the slow server. It's a hodgepodge of documents. I mean, it's things from the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th centuries. And they're in the middle of the center. Okay, it's again, it can be very slow to get into. For instance, all the Nuremberg materials that we never come up there. Some treaties, their treaty collections are less robust, but a couple of things that they only get. And finally, give you an example of other countries also have websites with treaties. And one I used is the UK was. This is the UK's treaty site, official treaty site. Links to everything you would possibly need, treaty texts, somewhere where you can get command papers, basically everything you need for a British treaty you can get. And that's true for more and more countries are putting up on it. Canada has a decent site.
Australia has a decent site. The French are a nice site. The Dutch are
good. Yeah, the Dutch are really good, unfortunately. That is one thing we have to, probably don't have to warn you guys about. Our students, we have to constantly remind them better. Not everything is published in English in the world. For example, if you're looking for the text of a Turkish-Bulgarian treaty, you better speak. Or really Turkish or Bulgarian, because they're not going to publish in English just for you. Okay, we're going to shift now from treaties to international organizations.
UN is a fact, well,
parts of it are fabulous.
Parts of it are fabulous. What I want to talk about really is like your question about final resolutions and official documents of the UN. We're going to talk about the online, I think it's the online document, it's ODS. So if you click on
it, you want me to go that one? It's a different language we got. I've got ODS.
Where do I have ODS?
I'll be there. Right?
ODS is the, if you click on the, from the homepage, if you click on the publication stamps and databases icon at the top, you'll get to that, but you can buy stamps at the same time. You click on databases, you'll get a list of databases. ODS is the online document. They used to charge for this. They've now made it free, which is very nice of them. I don't understand why this is free and the treaties aren't, but it's the UN, so we'll figure it out. It contains official documents from 1992 to the present. They are going back in time, retrospectively, putting other stuff up. It's kind of spotty at best, except for UN resolutions. Resolutions are easily findable. You can, again, when you pull up the search, advanced search screen, you can limit your search to wherever you want to look. So the documents are the resolutions.
Daily Journal.
New York, Geneva, and Vienna. They tend to put as much up as possible. Those are the three centers that they've really got up. Some of the regional economic stuff is there. That's more spotty.
Have you found any limited documents on here? If the UN publishes limited documents that are only
limited circulation
at a meeting, I've seen a couple up here, but not
a whole lot.
But if you've got a UN documentation site from 93 on, come here first.
You can search by the document number. You can search for text if you want. There are a zillion different ways that you can search this thing. This is, compared to the treaty series, this is fabulous.
One can only hope that these guys will...
Obviously, it was not the same people that put this together.
The treaty database was put together at the beginnings of the whole idea of online databases. It's been around for a long time.
This one's been available for a long time. It was available internally first, and then by subscription, and now free. So it's been around a while, too. I guess they're just two different departments or teams doing it. I don't understand. But this is very, very, very good.
It's very good.
You will find most things you need to find there. Very easy to search. Fairly up to date. Keep in mind, however, they can only put documents up as the organization produces them. And the organization produces documents. Some documents very slowly.
Can you get to the subsidiary UN organizations through there, or just...
Which ones?
For example, White Brothers of the UN body.
No,
I don't get the specialized agents.
Just the main. UNESCO, maybe.
UNCTAD documents are there. But I don't think you're going to find WIPO documents. WIPO has its own documents, which is pretty good.
to be honest, I've never searched for a WIPO document there, but I know MCAT is there because I've searched for MCAT documents. I think I recall seeing that's a lot. The more specialized the agency, the less likely you're a district.
If you're an EP or there, you can't pay.
Good.
WHO, I don't think you're going to find there.
Right.
Yeah, they. And I'm not sure.
So it's for,
yeah. I mean,
for the main core pocket,
it's there.
I mean, if you simply produce it,
yeah.
You're not.
Thanks.
Sure.
You're welcome.
About the ALSI?
Yeah,
this is also a link off the.
The International Law Commission has done also an amazing job. Of putting their stuff up. Like, if you, most of what people look for when they look for the ILC are the yearbooks and the annual reports to the General Assembly. Those are all available here. They're all PDF, easily accessible all the way back. Again, they're not as current as you might want them to be because they haven't been published yet. And to a certain extent, they hold back the sales documents for about a year or so until they get exhausted.
So they publish like each year, or
The ILC reports to the General Assembly each year, and as a part of the official records of the Assembly. That's going to be here. The yearbook of the ILC, which is a derivative of the report, is also here and fully searchable. When you're doing research, you're looking for the record. Where are we at now?
This is ILC documentation.
Yeah,
by section.
It's
annual reports, yearbooks, analytical guides.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. The analytical guides are wonderful. The repertoire of practice is here, the repertoire of practice of the United Nations. Fully searchable, more up to date than the printed ones are. Actually, here's one that's more up to date than the printed ones are. If you're doing research on the charter and activities taken under specific articles of the charter, this pulls it all together for you. You don't have to search through various supplements to make sure you're up to date.
Very favorite article. If you
want. So this is really, really good. And it's kind of hidden. And that's some of the joy of the UN website is a lot of things are kind of hidden. And you just kind of stumble. Like, I didn't know the repertory of practice was there until I stumbled upon it one day. I was like, oh, wow, this is fabulous. Why have you not given?
You've got justice students if they're doing, something on the laws interpretation of the charter.
Okay. This is an interpretation of all these articles. Mm-hmm.
What it is actions taken by the organization and subsidiary bodies under those provisions of the charter.
They collected only
reference resolution statement that reference that position. Anything that the Security Council might have done that deals with that particular article of the charter, basically how they interpreted that practice. So it's very, very useful.
And then, of course, there's stuff from
all of the human rights stuff used to be the best part of the UN website until ODS became free. The Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights put everything up there, and it was just fabulous. They don't necessarily do that anymore because they've got ODS, but a lot of stuff still is there, and sometimes it's easier to access it that way. Like, if you clicked on the treaty, treaty bodies database, so any of the treaties done under the UN auspices that are on a charter base, like the Torture Committee, you can click on the Committee Against Torture. I don't know. You got it on the app. Right to the.
They got it there.
Yeah, so this will break it down. It got inquiries. If states submit reports, those are going to be there again. There's always a delay. When things get published, the human rights bodies in particular are notoriously slow about publishing some of their reports. But, it's all there. It's all in. So the language isn't available. I believe it's all PDF. It's about.
Well, yeah,
and it's PDF.
PDF.
It's all
PDF.
Word.
They'll let you take it down in Microsoft Word.
This is just—it's a godsend because some of the stuff is impossible to find. And this is one of the places I definitely go when I'm searching for stuff when I can't. When I've got somebody who's got a reference to a cited document that we can't find. So, and then it also got the. Use the other one, the charter-based thing, as opposed to the
the Human Rights Commission, the other.
That's down the code for 6.5.
Charlie, do you do a search?
Categorized.
A categorized search, and you just limit it to that body, and it does the same thing. God, I mean, this is really, really nice. Especially when you're doing the international search, it's just fabulous.
I'll do a bunch of the other international organizations other than the United. Obviously, the OAS, which comes in English, Spanish, Portuguese, and Dutch. Again, it's got a good document collection, good document set. There's stuff, the OAS archives, treaties and agreements, resolution and declarations. This stuff used to be incredibly hard to find because they published on a random basis. They were not the best at, the OAS has never really been the best at getting stuff out the doors. So they have it internally, but they getting it out to libraries and such, they never really quite got the hang of. With the website, now they're starting to actually put stuff on it. Europa.
Yeah,
again, Europa is in every language of the European Union, which is just a few. I skipped the gateway page that had the list, so all the different languages. But basically, anything you need off the EU is here.
The key database is obviously the Eurolex database,
which used to be called CLEX.
It used to be a subscription database, but now it's for everything. Every document, official document,
the official journal.
Yeah, anything that is published in the official journal shows up on that database. Fully searchable, keyword searching, document number searching if you haven't had your citation. Very good.
Yes.
For a continent with not a history of providing lots of documents to their citizens, the EU website is just a
and especially when you consider how well they translate. The official journal is published in every capital by noon the next day in every language. That's an incredible thing. I don't know how. I really. It's, well, they have a limited thesaurus that they use. You can only use certain words.
Now, I will offer this cautionary thing about the Europa webpage. There's, as you can usually find everything you want there. Now, it will take, if it's not in CELEX, it can take some time to find things. I mean, I found things where it's taking me a couple of hours digging through various databases and archive sets to find particular like, minutes of a committee or something like that, where somebody's looking for a particular position paper or white paper.
And there's something
it's there,
for folks
it's
who are used to the U.S. method of doing government documentation. The European method is different. They consider many things confidential that we don't. Committee ministers meetings, minutes, for example. You have no right to see that's a confidential document, and you don't get to see it. Whereas U.S. system, all that stuff, hearings, everything else is up online. So there's a little bit of a mindset change you have to do. Then there's the Council of Europe, which has, of course, the European Court of Human Rights and everything else.
Yeah.
The Europe of the 57 now, the bigger Europe, which there's a fair amount of stuff on there. It's actually a fairly well-designed web page. I checked it out. European Union's, or the African Union's page, is so much better now. I mean, since they became the African Union and started to actually put out those, they've actually done a tremendous job. I've been very impressed.
This is the same as the entire website. The PI website, African Union.
Yeah, the African, that was the treaty set. This is the rest of the whole. A lot of things you only find here. Maybe things that are incredibly hard to find in the place else, you'll find here. And if I have a question on Africa, it's where you should come first. World Bank.
Some of the specialized, all of specialized agencies in the UN have their own. The World Bank is a specialized agency in a general sense. World Bank stuff you also used to be very difficult to get. They have, if you click on, let's see, where are we going to?
Go on, publications.
Yeah, go to publications. And they have a 15,000 working, 15,000 documents and reports that used to be impossible to get all of them.
You have to go down to
the bank.
Go down to the bank and go through the
room. The archives are there. Most of the online bookstore contains most of the stuff that they published
The only thing that I've found that isn't available free on the website, which kind of disappoints me, but I can understand why they don't do it, because they publish it in conjunction with Oxford, it's the word Belcom. That you have to actually support the paper, because they do it with Oxford. World Bank is fabulous. They've done a really, really good job.
WTO is another.
Yeah. If you do trade research, WTO, the documents collection, and WTO is really good. And now they've gone back and they're doing GATT documents as well. So you've got actually two sources of GATT documents. You've got the WTO website version and the Stanford University GATT repository. So, again, Google that old Blake knows, you find amazing amounts of material available for free. I mean, that's the thing, is almost all of this is free, available to you. I mean, it's not now, finding the information is packaging. It's just so much.
And we thought we'd throw in one pay database.
Yeah.
World Trade Law, I know, if you're doing trade law. Again, it has some of these that you can get from,
the panel
easily get from, you can get from the WTO website, but here,
it provides some
analysis. For people who are in the field, this puts it all together for you nicely. It pulls things from different organizations.
And provides analysis.
And so
we need
analysis.
To pay. We need to pay.
This is a pay. Yeah, it's not free.
And I think it's really, if you're doing stuff before,
but if that's IMF.
IMF is a free site. There's lots available. The thing that you usually don't find free are statistics. Especially like in the European system, governments gather statistics and sell them. So they don't like giving away free too often. IMF and the bank usually have lots of good statistics. OECD sometimes does too.
Mm-hmm.
But they do sell bunches of stuff too. So
getting stuff out of UN statistics is uncounting your head in the sand. You get frustrated. Sometimes you can find something, but it's move on to courts and tribunals, my area. This is the ICJ's website, which is actually one of the better ones. I have been very pleased with this. If you're doing stuff with JSF, you've used this, I'm sure.
They're also putting on the pleadings now. Sure.
They're finally putting the pleadings on. They've been putting pleadings for newer cases on. They're starting to go back and put old pleadings on, which is really quite nice. But like the Djibouti, France, 2006, and we'll have over here the application. It doesn't have pleadings or judgments yet, but all the press releases and the application. Yeah, I find their press releases are actually when a judgment's issued. If you have students, you want to give your students something. We had a couple cases come out in the middle of the class. You want to give your students a quick synopsis of it, I give them the press release, because the folks have done a fairly good job of synopsizing the decision. And it beats having to read the actual decisions. They're painful.
Do you search by this, like, subject?
Not really. it's done by country and by case.
Country and case.
The country? Or just case? Yeah, you can get country. Okay. They're just cases.
Oh, yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, country.
Basic documents, which, they've taken to doing a lot more rules of court. They're actually revising their rules of court on a fairly regular basis. And they're also putting together practice directions. The last one was just in December this last year. Again, those things were hard to find before.
For example, if I like to find some ICJ cases about illegal expropriation,
I would not do it on paper.
Yeah, I would look for secondary sources.
I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head. It's the Digest of World Court Practice.
Oh yeah.
Because there was a League of Nations version, a permanent court version, and there's a more it's use. I want to say Yentian, but it's not Yentian. It'll come to me, but there's a fairly good digest of practice. Also, if you've got your guys doing stuff with the ICJ, you want to look at jurisdiction and procedure. The books by there's a two-volume book by Shabtai Rosen, who is the Israeli ambassador to the court, that are fantastic. I mean, it's everything you could ever want to know about practice in front of the ICJ. And he was the master.
He probably had a practice.
Oh, we have several about the election.
We have several about
He also has, if you want to introduce your students to the court, he published, and it's now being published by someone else, the court's given to somebody else. It's the World Court, What Is It, What Does It Do? It's a volume of that thing. It's actually, it's a decent little textbook. I use it as a textbook in my class, except that they wanted $100 for it, and I'm not going to have my students pay $100 for a book. Also, if you want to look at this, is also fairly useful, the docket. Cases currently under and pending cases. There's a SDJ practice. Let's see what else. This is, of course, the ECJ's page. The ECJ has a wonderful site. This is really quite well done. All the different tribunals, the materials from the Court of Justice, the Court of First Instance, the various tribunals that are under. They do a really good job. Let's see what else.
It just come to me, like, do we have, want to search, like, the U.S. Trade Commission? And do you have some, like, an investigation about anti-dumping?
Commission has a website.
There's also the Commerce has a website, too. Yeah. The Department of Commerce's International Trade Administration, the FTA, also has a website.
If anyone who did the investigation, I would go to that agency's website. Depending on, how old it might be, if it's fairly current, you might find it there in word
form.
The Trade Administration stuff, the trade agencies in this country are really good.
And it's free
for... Government documents are free.
In the U.S.
In the U.S.
Court of Human Rights, again, the basic texts, the case law.
Do they still turn it off?
No, they don't turn it off at night. Okay. They used to turn it off at night. It's also available on a DVD, which can come in handy, because sometimes their server is incredibly slow. And back to the days when they turned it off at night, which was a real pain for us because they turned it off at night for them. Which is, the middle of the day for us. Which caught me in class a couple of times. Before I realized what they were doing, I tried to show something in class. Well, their site seems to be down.
It's down every day.
Let's see. Of course, there's also the American Commission. They do a really good job of putting their stuff up. Again, digest is one thing I do wish CUDEC would do. The European, I wish they'd put the digest of stuff for case law online. That's a tremendous paper source for human rights law in the European Union compared to the Council of Europe. The Inter-American Commission and the Inter-American Court, there's a project here at the law school, which is linked off the law school's webpage, to do in Spanish a digest for the commission.
It's very good.
It's actually very good.
It's also
it's in Spanish. And of course, here's the court. One thing, the court, unlike the commission and every place else, the court doesn't give you a language page. They give it to you automatically in Spanish. And it takes a while before you realize that you can get it in English by looking at it. Again, it's a fairly decent bit. Their case law load is not that heavy, and so they have. There isn't a whole lot here, but everything there is about the court is there. But they've done a fairly decent job.
But they don't supply translations.
Right.
So it's an issue with the opinion that's issued in Spanish, Portuguese, or Dutch. Okay. It's in Spanish, Portuguese, or Dutch.
This will be a wonderful site for them. But they're still in the process. If the latest news, you can get news and individual cases that are ongoing. What would be really nice is in the legal tool section here, this time, right now, nothing works. Because you get access to the legal tools, there's just not a whole lot working yet. There's lots of the, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. So, it will be quite good.
couple seconds.
No. They should. We have the room for at least another half an hour. So, again, for the if you want to find the current cases that are against the Lord's Resistance Army, they are available off the Chambers page. Again, everything they've got, they're putting up, but they just don't have a whole lot at this point. The ICTY, the Tribune for the Former Yugoslavia, is actually very, very well done. And this, they have a tremendous case law. If you look at their cases and judgments, I mean, it's done by case, and basically everything you need to know about a particular case is here. You want to see the orders? You know, there's the order. Everything is available that they've published, which is really quite nice. I use this quite a bit. Especially when you consider that their appeals chambers, also the appeals chambers of the SCTR, is really the only thing right now that the ICC gets on, like developing their actual criminal law. And they've made it very easy to search and very easy to use.
Well, we discovered they have that litigation page.
No, decisions. So you don't have Bruce. But that's not all that surprising, really. It'd be nice if they did. The ICTR is a problem. You'll notice how up here, even though I put in www.ictr.un.org, you get a number because they haven't done their website properly. They're on the end of a very tenuous link. They're in Arusha. A lot of times this page doesn't work because they don't have power. So it's hit or miss. I would never want them being able to get to this. And you know, I'm actually kind of surprised it's actually out of running right now. It wasn't last night. They have everything there for their cases. It's just, it's hit or miss as to whether or not they're up and running. Special Court for Sierra Leone, again, has everything, including audio and video.
Cool.
Yeah. I won't attempt that here. Speaker set up. But it does work. And they got, you know, nice folks. I like to work with them. It's nice to touch. And they're fairly up to date. And
it's like blah. It's like blah.
Yeah. And the Cambodian Tribunal does not yet have a web page. Neither does East Timor anymore. East Timor had a web page. But a good place, if you're doing anything with international courts, I send folks. NYU is picked. Project on International Courts and Tribunals. Up to date news, it's got information on the courts and tribunals. One of the things I love is the matrix.
Who made the website?
This is done by the
New York University.
NYU. It's a part of NYU. They have a it's a program of theirs. It's not going to be in the matrix.
Oh,
this is hard. This is actually, I'm going to do it after your argument. Actually, use a mouse because this is actually worth taking a look at. The matrix. It has this little flash intro that they really could do without. But slows things down, but it's yeah, I'm getting something that is well, yeah, I don't know if our network is going out or not. We this little which I'm sure somebody will find putting together. Everything you need to know about every international court. In a short. If you need to know, you know, how long has it been operational, who gets access, management issues, you know, what is their budget, all that information is available here, and it's kept up to date. So it's really quite useful. Do you want to talk about?
Very briefly, we'll talk about foreign law. For our students, foreign law is the hardest. Is the hardest thing that they do, as I mentioned earlier. They don't like simply understand that the Greeks or the French or the Chinese don't feel the need to legislate in English for their benefit. But foreign law used to be a part of our job, the minuscule part of our job. Now, I would say about 20 to 30% of the questions I get asked deal with foreign law. And I don't nearly know everything about all legal systems or any legal systems for that matter. So what I did like to do is look for research guides. LLRX.com, which we visited before, has foreign resource guides as well, both for print and electronic sources for all the countries listed. Again, there tells you when they're updated in public or published. Who did them? Most of them are done by either librarians or practitioners in those countries. Very helpful if you don't understand the way the system works or what the system produces, how it legislates or how it decides cases. These are fabulous. This is a fabulous place to look at.
So the first place that I could.
Yeah. Let's go to the next one.
Okay.
The foreign law guide. The foreign law guide is both an online product, a database, and a book, or say a series of books. This is also a great place to go. It's organized and by country. It gives you a brief synopsis of what the legal system of the country is, a little history of the country. It covers most of the jurisdictions of the world. There are a few that aren't there. Tells you what the system is now, what it used to be.
Gives you an idea of the legal history, what their structure is.
And again, most of my students have no clue as to what the legal structure of Denmark would be. I don't have a clue what the legal structure of Denmark is, to be honest.
It's a footnote of essay.
Right. And then it breaks down the subject matter of the state's law, the various subjects, tells you where you can locate them, if they're civil law country, where in the civil code or what special code it might be, if it hasn't been codified into a code yet, what the law is. It gives you an idea of when you leave WCL or wherever you are, because most of this material we don't collect. Well, I should say most all of this material we do not collect. When you go to find it, if you're looking online or if I send you off to the Law Library of Congress, you aren't going to be appear as stupid as you might ordinarily appear. You will have a citation of what exactly you're looking for, and make it a lot easier on the librarians there to help you.
And one thing that's really nice is if you want to find something, you have to know what they call it first.
Right.
This does is it tells you what the name of the book you're looking for. So even if you need to get it translated before you can use it, you can at least find the book, photocopy what you need, and have something translated for you. It really is. This saves
an
enormous amount of time. And it also tells you, you know, this just isn't available sometimes.
And this product, the online version provides links. Mm-hmm. If it's available to you, it'll also tell you, as some of the other research guides will tell you about pay databases available for those specific domestic countries, hopefully some of which you pay by search instead of by contract.
NYU Global.
Going back to NYU again, the Global X has both international legal research and foreign law research guides. Basically the same as LLRX, broken down by countries, again done by a lot of librarians and practitioners in those areas. Again, another good place to look. The Law Library of Congress, which is the best foreign law library in the world, has guides of law online, again, looking for electronic sources.
And there's one thing about them that's really key. They are the only place in the entire world that has a complete collection of Hispanic law gazettes and basically Spain, Portugal, and all of Latin America. They have on micro and in paper in some instances all of the official gazettes, and they have linked them and indexed them on the database. There's no place even in Latin America that has them, and it's really useful. And I was doing some stuff on Chile, trying to find some of the disappearances, some of the orders that came out. They're all published in the official gazette. Going there and getting copies of it very easily. So.
Click on Glenn on the right there. Yeah, great. Glenn is the Global Legal Information Network. It's a consortium of states, mostly Latin American at this point in the U.S., where they're placing material available online. Glenn itself is not free. However, searching Glenn is free and getting summaries of Glenn is free. And this is, again, a good place if you're looking, don't know what you're looking for. You can search it, and it covers the countries it's listed. They're trying to make it global. At this point, you're going to find mostly Latin American, South American countries.
Because they're building on the stuff that they did with the Gazettes. The Hispanic law division is why they're the Congress and stuff. They've been building on that. And then you probably want to look at GLM for a while.
Yeah. Global, and this is also a product of the Law of Voluntary Congress. It's a monthly, talks about developments in countries, legal developments in countries around the world, little articles. It may provide you with citations to current laws and things.
And also the subject.
Yeah. And it's by subject in the Australian Human Rights. I mean, it's a nice thing. It's free. It's worth looking at every month just to see what's going on. If you're interested in the specific area of law, this is going to tell you. I mean, the Library of Congress employs foreign law specialists in either regions or individual jurisdictions of almost all the entire world. They're synthesizing the information that they get and they're providing it here. And from again, for my students, it's in English, and that's always an added benefit for them.
And that's it.
Any questions for us? I guess the thing I want you to remember is get stuck.
Call us.
Give us a call us, but
email
us. It's probably better for you. I mean, you know, you're alumni, we're more than happy to help you guys.
Thanks.
And we can, you know, hopefully save you some time. And remember, you gotta use the books. Gotta keep libraries employed.
Yeah. I just heard it from Francesca Nicola.
Uh-huh.
And she told me what is the website about, like a Virtue Espresso?
Espresso?
Yeah. Did I hear about that?
Sure.
It's an article for the publication.
Or when you try to publish, when you want to publish, you can give them basically, you look and see what art it's how kind of nice service. It's a like an auction.
It's
a clearinghouse. You put your paper out. And
you can send
who you're interested in, pick what journals you want to take a look at it. They can receive it online. Most of them are doing it online. Some you still have to print it off.
And so you don't need to mail to each one of
them. Right.
Some
still want it mailed, but most of them want it electronically. They then look at your article and decide whether or not they want to publish it. Mm-hmm. It's actually a very useful service.
I'm not sure if you offer it to them.
I don't know if you do or not. I know you do. To students in battle.
Check back with Ann's people. Yeah, check with Ann's people. Are you around tomorrow, Blake? Are you still around?
No.
Send me an email. Send me an email and I'll let you know if we can talk to you and do something for you. Because I know, it's one of those things that I'm not sure we're talking
about. Actually, if you want to say hello to Anna, currently it's JP's.
Where are you from?
Uganda.
She's been around. Has she been to this is your second year?
Third
year, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Third year, yeah.
And Bill, I still have a last question from
you. Sure.
Because when we use the designation, we use ALWD.
Right.
Then, and then also you refer to the rule book for international parts. And
right now, if I go back to my country and if I want to publish some articles in the United States, which one that I
use? Chances are you're going to use one of these.
I just
most journals haven't switched to so. Okay. And the good thing about when you're doing a revision of your dissertation, your international citations probably aren't going to need to be changed because there are. So if you cite to domestic, any other source, domestic U.S. law sources or non-law materials like periodicals and journals and things like that, your all the sites are going to be close to the Blue Book, but may not be exactly the same. So I would definitely use them.
Captions.
Caps, yeah, large and small caps and things like that are different in the Blue Book than all of them. And that's one of the main differences.
So you're not supposed to be using
Blue Book? You're using Blue Book now. When Blake went through, they were using all of them.
Well, yeah.
They changed. Which is unfortunate.
It's confused. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we had the director of the JD student, legal rhetoric, really liked the All Book, so. The university switched, except for all of our law reviews, and now everybody should.
One other thing about the actually foreign law is the Blue Book. Yeah, I brought it a little quickly because it's fabulous. It covers a lot of the jurisdictions of the world, and it's foreign tables. And if you get an abbreviation to a foreign law site that you might not be aware of, this is like the first place I go to take a look. Okay, see if I can figure out exactly what that citation is to. Now it doesn't cover every jurisdiction. Long shot because it covers every jurisdiction. But a lot of it is covered. So it can tell you, okay, this jurisdiction means this, and this is the reporter or this collection of statutes or whatever it's published in. It's very good to have a copy of the Blue Book. It's something I use almost all the time for that kind of research. And it's not something you normally think about using for that aspect of research, but it is very helpful. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.